This is a Flames post-game replay.
And a hard shot, stop, rebound. What a save by Markstrom.
On Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Following a 7-1 win over the St. Louis Blues. My name is Pat Steinberger. Post-game show is underway, and let's check in with Flames defenseman Nikita Zadorov, your number three star in this 7-1 victory tonight. Nikita's joining us live right now. Nikita, appreciate the time. That had to be a fun one to play in tonight, but just overall, how happy are you with the 60-minute effort from your group tonight?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was a great win, big win for our club. I mean, it's a big rebound game. Now we got to focus on the winning back-to-back game. So on for tomorrow, for the Columbus after tomorrow.
Take us through the goal that you scored in period number one, 51 seconds after St. Louis took the lead. Walk us through how that one came about for you.
Yeah, I saw our rim coming out, and I saw Chucky. Hey. I knew he's good at those plays, you know, like kind of tip it in for me. And I just saw like the space open up in front of me, so I kind of used my legs jumping in the spot, and then it was just to kind of pick the place, you know, try to shoot it for scoring. It worked.
You've had a couple of games where you've been able to jump in offensively, and I go all the way back, Nikita, to the preseason, and I remember you made a joke in one of the news conferences about you're not going to get any number one power play time, but you've shown a knack for being able to get on the score sheet at times this year. Just tell us about your offensive game and how confident you are in your offensive game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely our team goal is to be good checkers, you know, to get the puck back and then keep it. Shot volume, puck possession, that's the really, really big thing for ours. So we're trying to work on it every game. And, I mean, sometimes it happens, you know, like forwards making a good play, so you get some chances. I mean, I think overall I've been getting a lot of opportunities to score, to get points, to get on the scoreboard and everything. So I think so far so good.
And finally, just a thought on a couple of your teammates. Johnny Gaudreau has 4 points tonight and Matthew Tkachuk with 5 assists. How much fun were they to be on the ice with and to watch tonight?
Yeah, great. I mean, I don't want to kick their tires too much and jinx them. But, you know, they've been great for us for sure. And they're a big, big part of our team.
Nikita, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for doing this. Good luck on Wednesday against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, thank you.
Nikita Zadorov, postgame following tonight's 7-1 win over the St. Louis Blues. You've been covering this team longer than I have, but I've been doing games for more than a decade hosting them here, or at the very least being a part of them. I cannot remember a game that was, and part of it is what the opposition did, no doubt about it, but I cannot remember a game as lopsided as this one was, and it looked like one team was playing the sport of hockey and the other team wasn't for the first 40 minutes. It was craziness. I really cannot remember a game that was that slanted for that long.
In this building, I can't. I would say the last time I felt similar about a game like this involved the same two teams. The difference was it was in St. Louis, Missouri, and I believe the date was December 16th of 2018, and the Flames rolled in there and they had a 4-0 lead. I think they ended up getting 7 on that, if I'm not mistaken, Sunday afternoon, and the Blues were just, I remember looking at Derek after the first and going, because I'm looking at Daryl on the screen, going, I didn't think St. Louis could play that poorly. And that was, you know, 2 weeks before they got to January 3rd and decided they were never going to lose again and ended up winning the Stanley Cup. So that's what this night reminded me of. Not a home game, but that game.
Yep. So how did we get here? What the heck happened? And how are we now sitting here getting ready to break down a 7-1 win? Lou, we went into this game. We were talking about matchups. We were talking about how Daryl was going to utilize his lines and how deep the St. Louis team is and how difficult a challenge it was going to be. How did we end up getting here?
Well, it was interesting. A little birdie whispered in my ear during the second intermission and said that they might have had a visit with a key member of the St. Louis Blues brass this morning, and that despite some of their winning ways lately, this individual with the Blues was not overly pleased with how they've been playing lately and thought they might be due. Well, he was right, and they've they were – for two periods, I didn't think they were capable of playing like that. And, you know, the Flames came to play tonight. I thought their power play, actually, the one that didn't score after it was 1-1, really set them in motion. And every time St. Louis turned over a puck, the Flames made plays and created scoring chances. And tonight they buried a lot of those chances.
It is a 7-1 final score. Flames over the St. Louis Blues here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. My name is Pat Steinberg alongside Peter Labardius and Derek Wills. Our post-game show is underway, and let's head back outside the Calgary Flames locker room. We've got Flames assistant coach Ryan Huska standing by with us. Ryan, appreciate the time as always, and this one turned into a really, really nice night for your group on the score sheet. But, you know, aside from the score, aside from the points, aside from the big nights for some of your players, just talk us through what you liked about the effort and what you saw from your group tonight.
Well, I thought we were solid. The first couple periods, really, until the game got out of reach. I thought we got a little loose in the third period, but a lot of times that's kind of normal when a game ends up the way this one did. But we didn't really give them a lot to start the game. Yes, they scored the first goal, and sometimes that's not the greatest thing, but I thought we answered it really well. And it's nice to see our defensemen take part in some of the offense there to help get us going. But I thought we did a really good job of not allowing them to get their game going, which was really important for us.
Ryan, I know it's maybe not your area, but how key did you think even your first power play that didn't score might have been to kind of feed everything in some of your best players' offensive game?
You know, we talked about Sean Monahan a while back. I can't remember who asked that question. Maybe it was Pat, about how he kind of gets himself going and what he needs to do. And a lot of it was if the power play, he does a good job on the power play, he starts feeling good about himself, maybe scores a couple of goals, then his game can go from there. And that's the same with the other guys. They had that puck in the zone and they moved it around really well. So those five guys leave that stretch feeling good. And I think it does catapult them into some really good things. And you see really big nights from Johnny. You see a really big night from Matthew. And a lot of that does, Lou, come from, you know, a successful power play where it allows them to feel really good about themselves and what they're trying to do.
Ryan, Erik Gudbranson playing in his 600th NHL game tonight. Had a couple of great chances to score his first goal of the season, wound up with an assist. Just your thoughts on his game and his career so far.
Well, pretty cool career. I mean, I was lucky way back when the World Juniors. He was one of the defensemen on one of the teams that I got to coach. So that was the first time I had a chance to meet him. And it is really amazing how quickly time goes by. And I spoke with him a little bit about it maybe 2 weeks ago or so about he feels like he just got drafted. And that's how quick it goes. So when you hear players talk about you don't have a lot of long time to have a chance to win. You know, your career goes by you pretty quickly. And I think when you get to a certain stage of your career, you realize that. And he does now. And I think over the last little while for us, I feel like he's got his game back to where he was playing at the beginning of the year, where he's being hard, he's checking well, he's physical. Like, there was a couple big hits for us tonight, and one in the first period that I thought was a good hit for us that got us a little bit more juice as well. And he's moving the puck quicker. So he did a lot of good things tonight. I thought he did a lot of good things up in Edmonton. So it's nice to see that from him, and we're going to need to continue to see that as we play a bunch of games here coming up in short order.
Ryan Huska is with us, Flames assistant coach. 7-1 final score, Flames over the St. Louis Blues. Pick up from Gudbranson to his D partner, Nikita Zadorov. He joined us a little earlier here on our post-game show, Ryan. And, you know, We talk a lot about the size and the physicality from Nikita and what he can do suppressing scoring chances and his defensive game. But tonight, a little offensive flair. He steps up and ties the game 51 seconds after your team falls down 1-0. Just take us through kind of the other side of Nikita's game and some of the stuff that we don't talk about as much.
Well, I think this was, in my opinion, his best game of the year for us. He was skating. I thought he was physical. I thought he moved the puck, but he also got himself involved in the play. So, you know, when you really do look at his game, people don't talk about the offensive side of it, but he is a good offensive player. it's just understanding, I guess, for him is when he should try to use it. And tonight I thought he was effective with his decision-making in regards to trying to get up in the play. He didn't overcomplicate things by trying to get active at times where it makes no sense that take him out of position. And sometimes to this point, that's been one of the issues with him where he gets a little bit active. He moves around a lot and he takes himself out of a good checking position where he's caused some problems defensively. So things that he's worked on and he's getting better with is nice to see. But the focus for him and Eric are always to be good checkers. And then when they have opportunity like they have tonight, they can do some great things offensively for us too. So we want them to have that confidence, but we really want them to understand what makes them really special players for us.
Ryan, in your opinion, with the forwards and in groups of five, how good was your play tonight from the neutral zone or at least center ice in, and how key was that?
With the puck, Lou?
With and without.
Yeah, I think the big challenge that we tried to prepare our players before the game with was making sure that with the puck, we did a really good job of trying to play deep into the offensive zone. So we needed to have some speed through the middle of the ice. And over this stretch of games here when we haven't had results, sometimes we've shot ourselves in the foot by turning pucks over at poor areas. And I thought for the most part tonight, we were quick through the neutral zone, we moved the puck fast, and we made good decisions when we had to maybe put a puck in to get it back instead of trying to play through a couple people. On the flip side, I think that helped us with our structure in the neutral zone as well because we slowed their game down. They're a team that likes to really drive with numbers up the middle of the ice. I thought we did a good job of being above them, and we didn't give them an opportunity to get their games going.
Ryan, Daryl Sutter shared with us last week that one of the team's goals this season was to be in a playoff spot at the All-Star break. And with the win tonight, you move into the second wildcard spot in the Western Conference. But he also said how important it was to finish top three in the Pacific Division so you didn't have to mess around with one of those wildcard spots and the teams in the Central Division. You know, how important is goal setting during the course of a long 82-game regular season schedule? And I guess part two of the question would be, what do you guys have to do in your five games before the break to make sure you're in the spot you want to be?
Win. I'll go back to the first question first, the goal setting side of it. It's very important, both long-term, like we talk about playoffs, or that's kind of a long-term goal for us over the course of the season, but we also break things down into much shorter segments, I guess you can say, of games. So I think it gives your players something to hang their hat on, where if they're having a really good segment, they know there's an opportunity for them to gain some ground on some teams that are around us, and they can really build some momentum through that. And the flip side, if there's a segment that isn't going our way, we can turn a page pretty quickly once it's done and get refocused on the next one. So they come into the rink every day and they look where we are. We have things broken down for them to see. It's a real good visual thing. So they know exactly where they are in a segment, what we're doing well, what we're not doing well, and how we have to get better. So it gives them something tangible to hold on to, and I do think that's important.
Ryan, final question for you. You had the kind of unusual and new challenge of barely playing hockey games and, having game in 5 days, game in 4 days, and now they're coming at you hot and heavy. It's you're going to be beat over the head by games here up to the All-Star break and then after the All-Star break. What will the challenge be in managing now with the schedule like a polar opposite from what you've gone through the last number of weeks here?
Yeah, I think there's probably two things for sure. The obvious is the making sure our job is to make sure the players have energy and they're ready to play with the pace and the push that we had early tonight. That's something that's really important for us to make sure we do a great job of, as coaches. You have to give them what they need, and sometimes in stretches like this, it's not practicing. And then if the second thing, when you're playing a lot of games in short order, it almost feels like it's a little Groundhog's Day at times, and you can't allow things to get stale. So another job of the coaches is to make sure that every day is the most important day, and we have to win that day. So we have to keep our players engaged and feeling good about themselves and ready to go each time they step on the ice. So players will tell you they love playing all these games in short order.
Yep.
They don't want to practice. Coaches are the ones that want to practice. So once your team gets on a bit of a rhythm, and if you can get on a roll and start winning games and putting things together for a nice stretch, you can do a lot of damage and your team can feel really good about itself coming up. So we're looking forward to it, and we're excited about the opportunity.
Ryan, appreciate the time. Good luck on Wednesday in Columbus.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
He's Ryan Huska, Flames assistant coach, following a 7-1 win for the Flames over the St. Louis Blues. Let's go back and hear from the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Daryl Sutter, postgame following tonight's 7-1 win over St. Louis.
Just wanted to ask about just seeing that drive from your defense to sort of set the tone in terms of scoring. Were you pretty pleased to see that?
Well, they scored the first goal on an error. So I thought I was pleased to see our response and score a minute after that.
And just in general, an offensive performance, from so many different of your players.
I think Matthew and Johnny were in on five of them.
Daryl, this was the most goals your team has scored in a game, but also the second fewest shots against. Other than that first error and first goal against, does that kind of show that this was a good two-way effort on both sides?
You know what? I thought our power play scored the goals that end up making the difference in the game. I think our second period was really solid. We didn't give them much. So, that's a little bit of an improvement on our last game. So bottom line is we have to check to win. So tonight, two goals was enough to win, that's how you got to play.
Did you feel like your team did a good job capitalizing on the errors that the Blues made coming on a tired back-to-back?
Yep, and I'm sure they were. Time change, elevation. I've done that too coming into here, and the style they play is a hard game, and last night's a hard game, and so something we talked about was you got to man up when you play St. Louis.
Daryl, can you just talk about that chemistry between Gaudreau and Tkachuk, particularly tonight?
Not particularly tonight. I think I've said it several times over the course of the year that, they pretty much, that line carries our team for the most part. We need to get some more out of everybody in order to be successful.
Daryl, obviously you're headed into a very busy stretch here. What do you want your team to take from this game? And I guess bring them with them as you go through this busy stretch.
Well, you get points for winning. So you either get two or one. So you get two and 60, and sometimes you get one in the extra. So you need points. It's very simple. It's not complicate the matter.
And I guess you mentioned that, you usually get most of your offense from that one group. To see so many other guys, I think two-thirds of the skaters dressed get at least a point. I think all but three skaters get a shot on goal. To have so many people contribute chances, at least, is that a positive moving forward?
Well, we had that many chances in Edmonton, and it was perceived as not a positive. So you got to bear down on your opportunities.
I just wanted to ask about Rozichka. I don't know if it was a surprise to see him out there for us, at least. What did you like about his game, the youngster, tonight?
He's got to get better in faceoffs, get better on his detail of his game to stay in the lineup. I think that Johnny and Matthew made great plays for him, and he buried it. He's got all the tools. He's just got to decide where he wants to go with it.
Daryl, 5 assists for Matthew Tkachuk tonight. Is that maybe an underappreciated element of his game, is his playmaking ability?
I don't think so. I've said this lots. Matthew's got great vision when he's got the puck, and playing on his off wing this year gives him a whole different dynamic of what he can see and what he can do, and he's making the most of it.
Head coach Daryl Sutter, post game following tonight's 7-1 win over the St. Louis Blues. Final thoughts from our broadcast crew, starting with Peter Labardi, is following a 7-1 win. Lou?
Well, the Flames were a very determined group right from the get-go, and we haven't mentioned it, but I think it's really important. The stretch of the game that impressed me the most, actually, tonight was about the first 5 or 6 minutes of the second period. And I remember saying on the air, there was 18:45 to go in the second period, and Derek had just talked about the fact that, well, they were in this situation Saturday night and had a 2-goal lead. Well, they came out in the second. Their first two shifts were spent in the Blues zone, and I just I like the fact that tonight they smelt some blood and they knew they played a team that was not on their game, and they just kept coming because they let the Oilers off the hook the other night. They didn't really give this group a chance.
I mean, great game for a couple of individuals. Matthew Tkachuk equals his career high with 5 points. Johnny Gaudreau with 4 more points as those two guys stretch their point streaks to 5. But one guy who I come out of this game feeling really, really good about, again, is Sean Monahan. Really tough start to the season. Coming off of another surgery, a hip surgery during the offseason, and playing in a much different role, not playing on the top line with Johnny Gaudreau anymore, but playing primarily on the fourth line with a bunch of different guys. Well, Sean Monahan has started to look a lot like his old self of late. He had 2 goals in his first 23 games, and he has now scored 5 goals in his last 14 games. And when you do the math, I know a lot of people thought Sean Monahan would never get back to 20 goals again. Well, he is currently on pace for 16. And when you consider all that he went through during the offseason and the different role that he's played in this season, Sean Monahan still got a shot to get to 20 goals this season. And he's certainly trending in the right direction going into the second half. It's just, it's really good for me to see. And it's got to be great for the Flames to see, because we even heard Daryl Sutter talk about it post-game tonight after a 7-1 win. Still looking for more secondary scoring. And Sean Monahan, who's been a primary scorer for this team for the last 9 years, can certainly give them some of that secondary scoring. But, you know, just a great bounce-back game. And I talked about it earlier in the post-game show. The process is important, and there were a lot of good things when it came to the process on Saturday night. Goaltending wasn't good enough. Penalty kill wasn't good enough in a 5-3 loss to the Oilers, but they were really good 5-on-5, and that carried over into this game against the Blues. Got better goaltending, got a couple of power play goals instead of giving a couple up, and the Flames skate to a convincing 7-1 win. But as I said earlier tonight, the Blues likely played their worst game so far this season, and maybe the worst game they'll play this season when all is said and done at the end of the 82-game regular season schedule. So it's going to be, I suggest, tough sledding for the Flames on Thursday night, but they've got a game against the Blue Jackets before then and head on the road with some confidence and momentum, and also head on the road in a playoff spot for the first time in a little while in the second wild card spot in the Western Conference. So fun night here at Scotiabank Saddledome, and looking forward to getting those 2 road games out of the way so we can call some more games in this building. And as we know, there's going to be a bunch of them sometime soon.
Talk to you Thursday, boys. Be well.
Okay, good night.
Talk to you Tuesday and Wednesday as well. I don't know why I said Thursday, but talk to you guys tomorrow and then Wednesday. Peter Labardius, Derek Wills signing off for the night.
This is a Flames post-game replay.
And a hard shot, stop, rebound. What a save by Markstrom.
On Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Why don't we relive a lot of goals at the Dome tonight. It's time for the game in a minute. Brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Drive home an executive-driven Infinity from just $242 bi-weekly. Calgary's original Infinity destination, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane. Back to the Dome tonight for the Flames and Blues.
Live from the Sea of Red, Scotiabank Saddledome, Calgary Flames hockey is on the air. Tonight, Elias Lindholm and the 18-12-6 Calgary Flames will battle Ryan O'Reilly and the 25-11-5 St. Louis Blues. Tkachuk will grab it and drop it. Zadorov blocks it and shoots and scores! What a shot by Nikita Zadorov, and he ties this game at 1. Left wing side to Tkachuk, back to Gaudreau in front. Lindholm shoots and scores! A beautiful three-way passing play finished by Elias Lindholm, and they lead the Blues 3-1. Anderson sauces it near circle. Tkachuk in front. Monahan scores! Sean Monahan one times the puck by Jordan Binnington. They lead the Blues 4-1. Takes his glove off, puts it back on, centers the puck. Tkachuk to Monahan, to Rzeczka, he scores! And this game is a rout. Here comes Gaudreau in, alone, he shoots, he scores! Johnny Gaudreau zips the puck off the bottom of the crossbar and in. And the Flames convert their touchdown. They lead the Blues 7-1. In the final few seconds, we'll come off the clock. And the sea of red rises here at Scotiabank Saddledome. Lots to cheer about tonight. The Flames fall behind 1-0 and then score 7 unanswered. Matthew Tkachuk with a career-high 5 assists. Johnny Gaudreau not far behind with 4 points as the Flames not only beat but blow out the Blues 7-1.
Your Game in a Minute brought to you by my friends at Hyatt Infinity. Drive home an executive-driven Infinity from just $242 bi-weekly. Calgary's original Infinity destination, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane. Let's get to it on the text line at 960-960 we continue breaking down just an absolute blowout here at the Dome. Get in line on the phone lines, 403-240-4444. This text comes in and says, Mr. Steinberg, of all the games you've covered, this must be one of the biggest surprises. Still don't know what we have, do you? I have a better idea of what the Flames are and what we're watching this year than I have in a long time. Now, I still think there are some things that we're learning about the team and some things that even Brad Treliving, Daryl Sutter, they need to learn about the team. But in saying that, I feel more confident in like what they are this year than I have in a long, long time. They still have not gotten to the point where they're not Tampa, they're not Carolina, they're not Vegas, they're not there yet. But they are a more consistent team in the brand of hockey they've played than they have been in quite a while. This from Nabber. Gaudreau is 9th in league scoring. Tkachuk moves into 18th spot. If Dallas starts to sell, Calgary would do well to target Joe Pavelski. Everything would slot better, and you could put together a very heavy fourth line to wear teams down in the playoffs. In my opinion, the best fourth line they've had all year was Lucic, Lewis, and Richardson. I know one gentleman who would be all for the Flames going to get Joe Pavelski. He just happens to be sitting across from me right now. I would love that too. I think that'd be a really cool acquisition. I mean, that guy is one of the true playoff performers of the last decade plus. Like, geez, we're talking about 15 years that you can just count on Joe Pavelski being at his best come the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm a massive fan of that guy. I'd have, even at, 36, 37 years old, I'd have no problem if that was something that we're talking about. This reads, clearly St. Louis was tired 3 games in 4 nights. Hope the Flames are prepared for the rematch on Thursday. This, as critical as Daryl's comments on Rizicka sound, does that not scream that he loves the guy? I think that he, whether it's the comments he's made, and Daryl's even addressed this before, some of the critical comments he's made about Dylan Dubé, Yusuf Alamaki, or tonight on Adam Rizicka, I do think it's not that he doesn't like the players. He has a very high standard, and for him, young players have got to work on the details and the rounding out of their games, and you know, there's more immaturity in certain games than with others. And I think that's what he's talking about more often than not. And I do know that part of those things that he says, it's all about getting those guys to the next level, because he very much is invested in seeing them get to that next level. What else we got at 960-960? Nothing in hockey is more satisfying than seeing a spaz like Binnington get absolutely lit up and left in net. Fair enough. Flames need Nick Paul, good, hardworking, cheap Canadian kid with great eyebrows. As a fellow person with large eyebrows, I can say yes, Nick Paul, solid eyebrows. On the Nick Paul front, I don't mind that. If I were to target one guy, you know, one realistic player out of Ottawa, I love the idea of Connor Brown, just because of that contract. But Nick Paul is an interesting thought. Pat, your thoughts on pursuing JT JT Miller. Feel he could be a really good fit for this squad. I'd be all in on that if I were the Flames. When Frank Saravelli said that on Friday, he came on Flames Talk and said that the Flames are one of the teams that are interested in JT Miller immediately. Like, I'd be all over that if I were the Calgary Flames. Now, it might be harder to make that deal inside the division just because it's an arch rival, but if that were a possibility, I think the Flames would need to pounce on that, because the thing that Miller can do for you, he is an automatic upgrade for you on the wing, and he also has done a decent job and a solid job of centering good lines in Vancouver too. He's been basically a point per game player since he arrived in Vancouver. He has been a perfect fit there, and you could have the option, you know, if you're not enamored where Backlund is, you can easily have Miller as your number two center. And if Backlund's going great guns and that line with him and Coleman and Mangiapane's rolling, well, then Miller would be a great option on the wing somewhere. I think it's a fascinating idea. And I'm really, I'd be all in for that if I were the Flames. I like this one. Flames were playing on rookie mode. Yeah, it kind of looked like that tonight. All the sliders for the opposition were turned all the way to the left. So that's what it looks with a solid effort and the hockey god smiling down. I liked Ruzicka with Gaudreau and Tkachuk. Hopefully he can stick. I think he has a bit more offensive upside than Richardson. This reads, how did Lonnie like that game? Yeah, it comes from Lonnie in Red Deer, who just thinks they're the worst team ever. I haven't gotten a text from Lonnie tonight. Randy says, Pat, so Johnny likes to shoot high glove on the breakaway. Will he have to change this up later in the season due to being predictable? He's a pretty accurate shooter, but I mean, I don't think that's a big time worry. He's pretty accurate, but I also know that he is one of those guys that if something stops working, he would change it up. So those are just a few of the texts, 960-960. I would love to hear from more from you on the text line at 960-960 as our post-game show continues. Mike is with us. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Pat. How you doing?
Good.
That's good. Yeah, no, I thought it was I was studying while watching the game, but I thought it was a really good bounce back after a tough game in Edmonton, a game they probably could have won and definitely should have won. I think they outplayed the Oilers. But, you know, it was for sure a good bounce back. It was nice to see. Our best players are definitely our best players tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't, as Lou said earlier, like there were no battles, like there were no matchups. You know, when they do like the graphics of like, well, this team has the edge in this area or this, like there were no in-game matchups that the Flames didn't win, and didn't win like in a very substantial manner. It was a blowout in every sense of the word. Sometimes you have like 6-1 or 7-1 games. You're like, yeah, well, that game, it wasn't as lopsided as the score suggested. Tonight was as, if not more, lopsided than the score suggested.
No, yeah, for sure. They were far and none the better team tonight. I think the Blues definitely looked tired. I can see why Justin Falk wanted to get out of Canada so fast.
Well, I mean, part of their trip to Canada was fine. I mean, they played well last night in Vancouver. So it's not like the entire trip to Canada was awful for St. Louis. But tonight, yeah, not so good.
Yeah, no, I was referring to that stupid interview we had where you.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But no, it was like, for sure. Their trip was okay. But yes, I know.
Yeah, no, it was nice to see. I was definitely a little bit nervous and wanted to turn the game off after that Bozak goal. But the quick response was nice. And then obviously dominance from that point on.
It's pretty one-sided tonight, no doubt about it. Now, it's only 2 points, and this game won't happen the next time they play the Blues in 3 days. But it was fun to watch tonight.
No, for sure. Yeah, thanks, Patty. Have a good night.
Let's hear from the two offensive stars of this game tonight. Matthew Tkachuk, first ever 5-assist game, second ever 5-point game, and Johnny Gaudreau with a goal and 4 points in this game tonight. Johnny and Matthew at the podium postgame following a 7-1 win over St. Louis.
Matthew, maybe you can just start with you, just in general, positive to bounce back like this, especially after Saturday night.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we had a two-goal lead after the first period in Edmonton and had a two-goal again tonight. Sorry. And, yeah, just played better in the second period and didn't give them much. They didn't have much after two periods. And, you know, the third period, they you know, got a little bit more time in our zone and a little more shots and more chances, which we weren't happy about. But I thought in general, we're happy with that game.
And can you talk about the guy beside you tonight?
He
made some pretty nice plays.
Yeah, made some great plays. Was moving well. Obviously him and Lindy are very easy to play with, very easy to read off of. Seemed like tonight was kind of one of those games where we, one of us would get the puck and the other two were working for space and getting open and some nice plays out there and just a lot of time in their zone, which, even if you're not scoring all the time, you want to be in their zone, creating as many chances as we did tonight. Not that the power play was good as well. And he was a big part of that.
I guess, Johnny, just to flip that, what would you say about the way Matthew played tonight, having 5 assists on 7 of the goals?
Yeah, he's making plays out there. Obviously, smart player. So, he can see the ice really well, uses his teammates, and, he made some big plays tonight. And thankfully, we got a win from that.
I feel like we've probably asked you guys this a lot this season, so I apologize to do this now, but what works so well, not just on your line with Elias Lindholm, but just the two of you chemistry-wise?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I mean, we all see the ice really well. We're good buddies off the ice and, we have good chemistry, practicing together as well. So, I mean, it makes it a lot easier coming to the rink and, I think we're, finding a lot of chemistry in the start of the season and, we're just kind of building and building and building off of it. And, we're getting rewarded and, hopefully we can keep playing this way.
Matthew, what sort of text message do you think you'll get after getting 5 points against the team your dad works for?
I'm not sure. I'm sure he would have, I don't know, maybe I'm putting words in his mouth. I'm not even going to say what I was about to say, but he probably wanted it to be an OT game, but for us to play well. I don't know who he wanted to win the OT game, but he doesn't matter what team he works for, but he's obviously one of my brother's biggest fan and great mentor. And, not only him, but obviously my line mates and, teammates know how much I want to win against those guys. The hometown team, a lot of people watching. Same, we got a lot of guys in Toronto. It's like when we go to Toronto, you want to win that game for the guys that are from there, tons of people watching. So I don't know exactly what he'll text me. Maybe he went to bed early and I won't even get a text. I don't know.
Sorry, can I just squeeze in one more? And if you guys wouldn't mind both answering this for me, lots of people are going to, be talking tomorrow. Hey, did you see what Johnny and Matthew did last night? 9 points combined. But what do you hope that Flames fans are talking about after your guys' team effort tonight?
Probably, I think the thing that we're happiest with in the locker room is we didn't give them much and they got a goal early and I feel like that's one of the few times this year where we've given up the first goal and come back and won. So hopefully they talk about that, and we've got 5 games left, so we need to win most of them if we want to be in a playoff spot come All-Star break. So hopefully they don't talk about us.
Maybe you guys in part already answered this, but just I know St. Louis came in, a pretty tired group. It became very obvious very early on, but you guys had to show up too. I mean, you can't. There's been games this season where it hasn't gone that way for you guys. So I guess maybe just the importance of showing up in games like this when you can tell a tired team is tired and capitalizing on it.
Obviously, like you said, they've just got done playing a back-to-back and, they're hard to play in this league. Why they're playing a game, we're sitting at home getting rested. So, it's obviously difficult to play those games, but, we're coming off a loss and they're coming off a win. And, kind of wanted a little bit more tonight. And, but like I said, they're a good team, obviously. Maybe the back-to-back got to them a little bit, but I'm sure we'll see a lot different of a team when we go there in, 2-3 nights. So we need to be ready for, another, a big game against them. And we're going to be coming off a back-to-back. So we need to be prepared.
Matthew, there are different aspects of your game that probably come to the surface and come to mind for people more than your playmaking ability. But for that part of your game, what kind of pride do you take in your ability to kind of set up and that aspect of your game?
Yeah, see a play, make a play, kind of. I mean, it's pretty simple, but be around the net, try to have, good hands and tight, and whether it's in the corner or on the walls, just look for my line mates and spread out the zone. And just, I know we've talked about it a bunch already, but just playing with two other very good players. So makes my job easy.
It's the voice of Matthew Tkachuk. You also heard from Johnny Gaudreau post-game following a 7-1 win for the Flames over the St. Louis Blues tonight. Tonight's Alberta-made player of the game brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery, St. Albert product, former Fort McMurray oil baron, and Blues defenseman Colton Parayko. Rough night for St. Louis's number 55. He goes -4 in 20 minutes and 25 seconds of ice time. One missed shot, one takeaway, one block shot. Not a banner night for Colton Parayko. He was the Alberta-made player of the game. Final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. The Flames take a 7-1 win over the St. Louis Blues. Back to the text line at 960-960. This reads, been highly critical and skeptical of this team, but I do got to say, that was a fun game to watch. A much-needed game after a long couple of months. Montreal and Calgary need to talk is all I'm saying. Dvorak and or Toffoli, connections with Tree, Sutter, Tkachuk. They're both on very affordable contracts. Both are upgrades on current positions of need and style of play production. And the production level is exactly what the Flames covet. Flames have a couple blue chip prospects in positions of need for Montreal, one of whom is a French Canadian and another currently doing well in the queue, a first round pick, and perhaps another future if the contract going the other way isn't to their liking. But other than that, on paper, it seems like it would be a match made in heaven. If Montreal is ready to go down that road, I think there is lots to, there are plenty of reasons to explore that if you're the Flames. So that's an area that I think that they could go down, whether it's Toffoli, whether it's Dvorak, whether it's Anderson, whether it's Sherratt. There are players in Montreal that I think could fit nicely here in Calgary. This reads, I'm confused at who the Flames are trying to grow their prospects. What has or should we expect Tree Living to work these prospects into the lineup? Might as well try them before the Flames commit to them as RFAs, right? Seems like a waste of money if you don't at least see how these guys play in the NHL and make a plan to grow them. Well, I think, specifically with a guy like Pelche, part of the plan to grow them is to have them develop in the American League. I don't think it is the worst thing in the world to have Pelche play all year in the American League and have him develop down there. The NHL is the hardest league in the world, and there are plenty of prospects who have been ruined by playing in the NHL or who have had their development stunted by playing in the NHL. What's wrong with having a guy stick around and play a season or a season and a bit in the American League? I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Are you concerned Calgary had three breakaways during their power plays and Markstrom had to make some good saves? Not really. I mean, they were a little leaky a couple of times on the power play, but it wasn't a massive concern. Sometimes, sometimes that'll happen. I didn't come away from that game saying that was a big-time worry or anything like that. I love how your phone lines are jammed when we lose, but wide open when we win. People need to be more happy in life. There's something to that. Get lots of calls when they win, especially after a blowout. They should be lit up tonight. I can get behind that. Justin says, I'd love to see the Flames trade for Toffoli if they could. He's played under Sutter, had a ton of success with two cups, and I feel like one of their biggest needs is a right-handed top six right winger. This from Claude. Pat, a lot to like after tonight, but two ends of the spectrum of teams on their game. Maybe St. Louis' schedule caught up to them and presume Binnington stayed in the net only because they played last night. The only thing not to like about this game is that Calgary's number 19 and number 13 respective agents are seeing dollar signs for their next contract. When do we start to worry about Johnny not being signed? I don't think we have to worry about that as of yet. I still think there is a strong chance that Johnny Gaudreau re-signs here. I do, and I know he hasn't signed here yet, and I know that until he signs, those worries are not going to go away, but I don't think the ship has sailed in that regard. I still believe that conversations have been ongoing. I still believe both sides are engaged, and I still believe both sides want to find a deal. There's not a lot of news coming out because Lewis Gross, the agent, and Brad Treliving, the general manager, have agreed they're not. There's going to be no leaks, and Tree doesn't leak at the best of times. So, but as far as I know, and from some of the things I've heard, yes, they're still engaged in talks, and it's not dead. Like the whole thing, well, they're just going to let him walk. That's a foregone conclusion. I don't think that that's an accurate statement. I really don't. From Will in BC, 7-1 or 2-1. Both worth 2 points. The best thing for me tonight was it was a home game. If the Flames can bring their road game home, to me, this is a contending team. This would have been more fun Saturday night, but it was still fun. I thought Saturday they deserved better. 960-960 on the text line. This reads from Dustin in Victoria. Just wondering what you think of Monahan. I just tuned in. Don't know if you've talked about him tonight. I thought he looked good again tonight. I will say that his game is starting to trend in a better direction. I really hope for the guy that he can get closer back to the guy that he was. I think right now Monahan is well slotted as the number three center behind Backlund and behind Lindholm. I think it takes a little pressure off him at 5-on-5, and you still have him as a number one power play fixture. I think right now Monahan is in a good spot. If he continues playing this way, I think having him as that three center at 5-on-5 and still being a fixture on the power play is a really nice spot for him and could help those overall production numbers start to go up. Pete. And I also don't think I have a nice voice at all. That was sarcasm. Sorry, Weston. Got to have the radio down in the background or we can't do it and it gets all confusing for both of us. So sorry, unable to go to you. And that'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight following a very impressive 7-1 Flames victory over the St. Louis Blues. How'd we get there? Well, went like this. In fact, the St. Louis Blues opened the scoring at 5:10 of the first period. Looked like it might be a bad start for the Flames as Tyler Bozak scores from the fourth line for St. Louis and make it 1-0. Bozak's third from Oscar Sundquist and Klim Kostin. And just like that, you're like, oh, Flames have been reeling of late. This could go bad. Good news, 51 seconds later, Flames tied it and would not look back from there. Nikita Zadorov draws the team even with his third of the year from Matthew Tkachuk and Erik Branson at 6:01. Then about 6 minutes after that, Chris Tanev scores what would be the eventual game winner. Nice feed from Johnny Gaudreau on Tanev's second of the year. 12:46 to make it 2-1 Calgary. Then, exactly 3 minutes later, Flames would go up 3-1 on an Elias Lindholm goal, his 13th of the year, from Gaudreau and Tkachuk at 15:46. Power play goal had the Flames up 3-1 after 20 minutes of play. To the second period we go where the Flames blow it wide open. Sean Monahan scores another power play goal to make it 4-1. Monahan's 7th from Tkachuk and Rasmus Anderson comes at 3:24. Then at 14:11, Blake Coleman gets in on the act to make it 5-1. Coleman's 8th from Backlund and Lewis comes at 14:11. Less than 2 minutes after that, Adam Rzyczka's in on it to make it 6-1. Rzyczka's 2nd of the year from Tkachuk and Gaudreau at 16:09. And then Gaudreau scores in the final minute to make it 7-1. His 16th of the year from Tkachuk and Zadorov at 19:36 was 7-1 Calgary after 40. No scoring in the third, and 7-1 ends up being the final score. Final shot 48-21 Calgary. Flames 2-4-5 on the power play tonight. St. Louis 0-2 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight with a goal and an assist. Number three star, Nikita Zadorov. Your second star with a goal and 4 points, Johnny Gaudreau. And with his first ever five-assist game and second ever five-point game, Matthew Tkachuk, your number one star tonight. Hardest working Flame, as selected by Peter Labardius, was Michael Backlund. With the win, Calgary improves to 19-12-6. They're back in action Wednesday on the road in Columbus. St. Louis falls to 25-12-5. They're back in action Thursday at home to Calgary. That is your final summary. That's right. The next game for the Blues is against the Flames on the second half of a back-to-back. Yeesh. That's a little scary from a Flames standpoint. But They've got a game against Columbus before we get there. That's your final summary. And for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, for our on-site engineers, Tim Khalil and Evan Cody, for our reporter, Matty Rose, my name is Pat Steinberg, and for our outstanding producer, Patrick Dumas, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on the post-game show this evening. The next game for Calgary goes Wednesday night. It is a 5 o'clock face-off. That is the final 5 o'clock game this year for the Flames. No more games in the Eastern, at least the final 5 o'clock weekday game. They do have a weekend game, a couple weekend games at 5, but the final week, midweek 5 o'clock game is the Flames and Columbus Blue Jackets on Wednesday. We'll be on the air at 4 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Monday night. Final score from the Scotiabank Saddledome, Flames 7. Blues 1. This has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.